Half a century ago, one of the best debate teams in the Northeast didn't come from an ivy-clad private school. Far from it. They were inmates at a Massachusetts prison. By 1966, the Norfolk Prison Debating Society boasted 144 wins and 8 losses against teams like Harvard, Princeton, and MIT. But when a more punitive approach swept prisons across the U.S., that debate team dissolved. Until now. Natasha Haverty takes us there.
For a few minutes, the 6 men in the empty prison auditorium had a chance to take it all in.
Yeah, we're going to bring this back and we're going to do this. This is important to let people know who we are, what we're about.
For Ronald Leftwich and his teammates, it would all come down to this afternoon. Across the prison, their opponents from Boston College, fresh off a victory against Notre Dame, were getting ushered through the metal detectors. Senior Sean McDonald had never set foot in a prison, much less debated one.
It's going to be an honor to debate them. We know they've beaten Oxford and plenty other very, very competitive debate teams, so it should be fun.
This is the prison stage where, in 1951, Oxford University lost its winning streak, where Malcolm X, then an inmate named Malcolm Little, got his first taste of public speaking, where men at the bottom rung of society's ladder went head-to-head with college boys who'd grow up to be the likes of Larry Tribe and Leonard Cohen. The doors open. Hundreds of men take their seats. Prison Superintendent Sean Medeiros does, too.
I'm feeling a little excited. I'm hoping the men do well.
Only a couple of men have been incarcerated at Norfolk long enough to remember the last debate here.
Until today, we have not hosted a college debate in over 50 years.
On stage, 5 Boston College students sit opposite the prison debaters. The moderator introduces the topic, the future of our planet, climate change. Resolved that the U.S. should impose a tax on greenhouse gas emissions. Norfolk Prison will argue in favor. James Cowan speaks first.
There's a storm coming. When it first hits the Boston area, the ocean will surge into East Boston, the seaport, and parts of the downtown waterfront.
And while the idea of sitting through 2 hours of environmental policy might sound really boring, every guy in this audience is smiling, head up. The prison team's captain, Dan Troop, adds some spectacle, walking to the lectern in a surgical mask.
After listening to our opponents' first 2 arguments, we may have to check the carbon dioxide levels in this auditorium today.
But when Boston College's Sean McDonald comes out, it starts to feel like these students could win over the judges, maybe even the audience.
If you want, I can hand you back the surgical mask, because under your plan, you're going to have even dirtier air than we have right now.
For the last 2 years, a group of inmates has been fighting to resurrect the Norfolk Prison Debating Society. For these next 2 hours, James Cowan says, everything is on the line.
This is a humanizing event to me. I mean, this is about, you know, we have a place in this world and we have a voice and we have something to share.
It's meant hours of training, one day a week together in a classroom, then back to their cells to rehearse alone. Research. While their opponents had the internet, these guys, several of whom didn't finish high school, relied on their sisters and moms to send them articles. And then, Cowan says, there was getting a college to come in and make this all real.
It's less about the competition, and it's more about those outside the wall willing to come in and say, we'll meet you where you're at.
This idea of intellectual exchange between inmates and the outside world was what Norfolk Prison was founded on. But pulling it off was never easy. Someone always cried foul at the thought of violent offenders getting an education and brushing shoulders with the public. Those voices have only gotten louder, says Superintendent Sean Medeiros.
Corrections has changed. You know, and that's the only thing I can really say is that, you know, we've changed. And, I guess it's up to debate whether we've changed for the better or not.
Which meant for a debate to happen in Norfolk Prison in 2016, the Massachusetts Department of Correction kept a tight grip from what topic the men could debate to who was allowed to speak to the pair of reporters there to cover the event. Despite those obstacles, there's always been a core group of inmates at Norfolk committed to making life more meaningful. Most of them are lifers.
Because we're here, and let's face it, many of us are going to die here.
Gordon Haas has been at Norfolk almost 40 years, serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole.
Just because someone is serving life, that doesn't mean they stop living.
And Haas says in the days leading up to the debate, the prison's been abuzz, even the staff. Superintendent Medeiros says debate has transformed these inmates.
If you saw these guys when they probably first out of their sentence, they're totally different men now.
George Vicente is up for parole on a second-degree murder charge in a few months.
I am 32 years old, and I've been incarcerated since I was 17.
When the team's captain asked Vicente to come debate some college students, he says he hesitated.
I was a bit nervous, you know, because it's like, these are some smart kids.
But he says he knew the message of victory against those kids could send.
It shows that, you know, there's value. And there's intelligence, and it's not just, you know, animals and just good for nothings and, you know, people that know nothing behind the wall, because I know that's a stereotype. You know, if we lose, that's what, you know, the world expects, you know. But if we win, the world's not expecting that.
Please welcome Mr. George Vicente to the lecture.
As sunlight streams through the auditorium windows, Vicente takes the stage.
Regarding the con team's eloquent and obviously passionate position, the pro team respectfully disagrees.
He speaks for almost 10 minutes before the timekeeper lifts up a red card, signaling to Vicente he has just a few seconds left. If he goes over, he's disqualified. His team loses. Vicente leans in.
Because the evidence proves, and we agree with the New York Times that, quote, a carbon tax is indeed the most sensible tax of all. Mr. Marlowe.
Minutes later, the judges announced the winner. Norfolk Prison defeats Boston College by a hair, just 0.6 points. Some men hold one hand over their heart with the other raised up at the stage. But the standing ovation comes when, on behalf of the entire prison, the moderator thanks their young opponents for being willing to brave the journey inside. For NPR News, I'm Natasha Haverty.